Lord Shaftesbury said, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months." Well said. Howard A. Kelly, Dr. MD, dedicated his book, A Scientific Man in the Bible, to my first and best friend, guide of my youth, inspiration and strength of my mature years, and crown of my approaching 70 years, my mother. Oh, the power of godly motherhood. And yet we need to understand that for mothers today, they stand in a very strategic place between Satan's onslaughts and God's will in the lives of our families. I have read this from this missionary in regard to other aspects of spiritual warfare, but I just was struck to read this again. A letter from a missionary out of the jungles in New Guinea, writing to his friends at home, caught the nature of spiritual warfare. He wrote, "Man, it is great to be in the thick of the fight, to draw the old devil's heaviest guns, to have him at you with depression and discouragement, slander, disease. He doesn't waste time on a lukewarm bunch. He hits good and hard when a fellow is hitting him. You can always measure the weight of your blow by the one you get back. When you're on your back with fever and your last ounce of strength, when some of your converts backslide, when you learn that your most promising inquirers are only fooling, when your mail gets held up and some don't bother to answer your letters, is that the time to put on mourning? No, sir, that's the time to pull off the stops and shout hallelujah. The old fellow's getting in the neck and hitting back. Heaven is leaning over the battlements and watching. Will he stick with it? And as they see who is with us, as they see the unlimited reserves, the boundless resources, as they see the impossibility of failure, how disgusted and sad they must be when we run away. Glory to God, we're not going to run away. We're going to stand." I love that letter. But mothers, many times in the whole process of motherhood, you feel that battle. Not just when your children are in your home, but even in the years afterward. And I believe that the chapter we're going to look at in our study of Nehemiah gives us all the principles of what happens when we get to moving forward and rebuilding for God and are part of divine rebuilding. But we want to look today at the challenges that come when we're in the will of God. And I'm especially going to apply this morning to mothers. Turn with me, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 4. Here we have Nehemiah, who God touched his heart. A man that may have been the second or third man in power in all of the great Medo-Persian Empire. But he's willing to risk his life and give up all of that luxury and power and authority and prestige for the calling of rebuilding Jerusalem. 586 BC, the city had been decimated. And finally, the prophecy of Jeremiah, the 70-year prophecy, was fulfilled. And the temple finally was rebuilt after some backsets, but the city was still in ruins. We are now 141 years after the destruction of Jerusalem. 445 BC is where we are at in this passage. And after 80 to 90 years of attempting to build the wall, Nehemiah now sets out after 3 months of praying and fasting with the hand of God upon him and the authority of the king, which was a miraculous move of God to make that happen. He comes with that, and he is determined now to finish the job that God had wanted the earlier generations to finish. And I trust, ladies, as much as we are excited about what the generations past have done, this generation is the one that needs to realize the wall needs to be built. And those of you that have younger children especially, realize the opportunity. But all of you that even have older children, let's believe God for every one of them. And this, of course, applies to all of us as we serve the Lord. But Nehemiah's coming to Jerusalem was a real threat to the governor of that area, Sanballat, and his associates. And he wanted to keep the Jews weak. A strong Jerusalem would endanger the balance of power, and it would rob him of his prestige and authority. So we see, first of all, the immediate ridicule that came from the world. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Immediately a mocking began to take place. And these two men were very powerful. Sanballat is mentioned actually in Egyptian papyri in 408 BC as the governor of the fortified Samaria. Tobiah was the governor of Ammon, which was the power city on the other side of Jordan to the east. And they were mocking what was going on. God's people were perceived as a threat. Now, let me just say, folks, when God's people get going, it's a thrill. But we're very foolish to think there will not be opposition. And I think this has been one of the problems over the last few decades, that we've been shocked that there is a pushback to the gospel, that there is a pushback to the truth of the Word of God. The minute we understand that there will be and Satan is not happy, then we have all the tools and weapons to be able to win that battle. But the problem is, so often we are thrown and discouraged by the threats that come. Satan will be stirred up. You remember when Stephen in Acts chapter 7, after giving that great message, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Anybody with perception knew this man had God in him. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And I'd like to say that all the crowd bowed before God. But no, what did they do? Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and stoned him. That's what the world does. And so we need to understand that there are going to be trials in any service for God that's making a difference. Now, mothers, you will always face trials in this great work because you are developing leaders of families and ministry that will affect, if the Lord tarries, hundreds and thousands of people, and Satan knows it. You are a huge threat to his plan. You say, "Well, I'm just insignificant. I'm just a mother." Just a mother. I'm telling you right now, this is where the action occurs. When the will of Henry J. Hines, the distributor of the 57 varieties line, he was a godly Christian, it was found to contain the following confession: "Looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Also to desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute my success I have attained." Timothy's mother and grandmother, Paul said, "I am confident that the faith that is in thee, that was in them, is in thee." And so we've got to understand, it is going to be a spiritual battle, but that battle can be won. And one of the hardest things is that we're often despised. God's people are despised. They're seen as weak. They're mocked. The word feeble there that Sanballat uses means withered, miserable. They didn't have the resources. There's no way they could succeed. And I'm telling you, a godly mother causes there to be a threat to mothers that know better, and just humanistically thinking mothers, yet they have a conscience. And there can often be pushback by them or just by the world in general. And so what you find is that mothers with a biblical philosophy will often be seen as wrong, and people are willing to tell you that. Now, that's an old-fashioned way of doing it. That won't work today. You've got to make more of your life. You don't need to spend all your time just taking care of your children. Oh, discipline was for another day. And on it goes. 1 Peter 4:4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And Tobiah talks, they talk about the fact that we'll, you know, are they going to be able to fortify themselves? And basically, Kidner says, are those fanatics going to pray the wall up? It's their only hope. And people look at those that are trying to do right. And are they going to really be able to do this? My friends, children can turn out in any day. Children can be men and women of faith and can be fully equipped to meet the challenge of that day if mothers, supported by godly fathers and by the church of the living God, will function together. God is able to work. And as we just think of a broader application, folks, as we endeavor to see lives rebuilt, as we're part of moving God's work forward in the midst of a day that is now mocking Bible Christianity and genuine biblical morality and family and origin and all of these things, my friends, the Bible is still true. God is still on the throne. He is able to work, and we must not let the things that we hear in our ears stop us from doing the great work that God has called us to do. And so this matter of parenting, and what did Nehemiah do? This ought not surprise us. Look at verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builder. So built we the wall. I love that. What did he do? Third time now we find in the book of Nehemiah, he prayed. And he prayed strongly. And he said, Lord, we've been despised. You turned this in your own way on their own head. And then he says, let's go back and build. I can just tell you, in any aspect of ministry we're involved in, no matter the opposition that may be there, the minute you seek God and you meet with God, God changes the entire perspective. And he'll give you the wisdom, he'll give you the power, he will give you the direction to keep right on going. Satan and his crowd can never stop a spirit-filled praying Christian. You know, the only thing that stops us is us. When we get in the flesh and we get prayerless. And you notice here, woven through this book, as we look at, you know, we could say, whoa, what courage Nehemiah has. And certainly he did. What leadership. Many books have been written about leadership from the book of Nehemiah, and certainly he did. But I'm telling you, the theme to me of the success of Nehemiah and the project was this man got a hold of God. And he had the heart of God and knew that God was going to work. And so he prayed, and God worked. Well, the enemy realized that this opposition was going to not cause these Jews to stop. And so we read in verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, you had the full force of the world. You had Samaria to the north, Ammon to the east, Ashdod to the west and Arabia to the south. You know, the world doesn't get along very well unless they're in opposition to Christians. And then they have quite an alliance. It's amazing how that thing works. And so you have it, though. This is very serious. It was from every side of Jerusalem. And so Satan conspires when we endeavor to build the work of God. And we've got to realize that Satan will endeavor to try to fool us, trap us. And I think the picture of a snake is a very good one, one that is wily, one that quietly moves can strike, can be camouflaged. And so we need to be very aware of the fact that opposition will inevitably be there, but we have got to be awake to it. Let me just apply this quickly here this morning to mothers. God has given you an ability to guard your home. Now, certainly it's the man's responsibility to make the full protective leadership decisions. But a mother has a real sense, if you're walking with God, of the dangers that are in a home. And there are a lot of the wiles of the devil. And for the last, 10, 15 years, because technology has been so new, so many parents have felt like, because of the peer pressure of families around them, that they had to give their younger children technology, video games, had to give them learning tools, and then really early a smartphone, and on and on. And I think in many mothers' hearts, they knew the danger was great. But let me just tell you, that's when Satan, it can be extremely destructive with everything I just mentioned there. And if you love your children, you need to watch out for Satan's use of technology in your children's lives. You want to present them at marriage pure. You want to keep them simple concerning evil. You want their minds to be developed the right way. And you want them to have a spiritual heart, not a materialistic, temporal spirit. And so it's very important, mothers, you're the ones that are living right there with boots on the ground, so to speak, in this whole battle. Friends, the whole philosophy of permissiveness. And for mothers themselves, distractions. So many mothers are caught up with so many things that take them right while they're in the home, away from the real interaction with their children. And because technology affords all kinds of opinions, there are lots of things said about parenting that are not biblical, that can easily get into your mind under a Christian title that will actually undermine biblical perspectives. We all know the verse, but it's so important. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan will unite the world. See, the world is his tool. Culture is so often used to destroy the family. And moms, if you just have a sense about it, that's from the Lord. Be careful. I'd rather be far too careful than lenient and go against your conscience. I encourage you. Satan's not going to like it, but God will protect you. And I tell you, dads, you need to support the heart of your wives in the protection of your children. And then Satan endeavors to attack the builder, actually will attack. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We've used 2 Timothy 3:12 recently here because of the theme that we're in. But I just want to remind you quickly, Satan is a defeated foe. And so when they heard there was going to be attack, they prayed, they put a watch up, they were awake, and they were ready to battle if they needed to battle. And then discouragement from within. I'm only going to touch this here, but this may be the most devastating of all. Look with me at verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. There's a discouragement through emphasizing the impossibility of the task. One writer says, in over 40 years of ministry, I've learned that in the Lord's work, discouragers are often doubters and compromisers. There is usually something wrong in their spiritual work. They frequently lack faith in God's word, for one thing, and they are primarily interested in their own plans and pursuits. A double-minded person is unbelieving and unstable and hinders the work of the Lord. We are not able. Ever heard of a story where that was said? 10 spies came back. After God had so greatly delivered Israel from Egypt, and they had seen miracles that would just take our breath away, they come to Kadesh Barnea, those 10 men come back and say, we're not able to do it. We are not be able to go up against this people, Numbers 13:31, for they are stronger than we. Well, of course they were, but God was stronger than them. And what did Caleb get up and say? We are able. Our God is able. But look at what happened to that generation. And I'll tell you, mothers, don't give up. Don't give up. You're not able, but God is able. God will give you wisdom. God will give you discernment. God will give you strength. God will give you the love. God will give you the ability to stand against maybe family around you that questions and the pressures that are often there, and maybe even other Christians that you know that are undermining a biblical philosophy. There are a lot of things that may be in the battle chest and war chest of Satan, but you can overcome all of that by the grace of God if you will trust Him. But don't get discouraged by thinking, I am not able. We aren't able. But God is. And dads, this is where you come in. You've got to keep encouraging your wife. There's no place for a dad that says ugly things, discourages, blames, gets irritated. I'm telling you, a mother that is standing between heaven and earth for their children needs the support of a man who understands the absolutely critical godly role of a woman and is willing to stand right by her side and make the difficult decisions. But don't discourage her. Let no corrupt communication, as Ephesians 4:29 says, proceed out of your mouth. But only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Aren't you thankful for a Caleb? We can do it. I tell you what, I heard my mother say over and over, don't quit. You can do it. By the grace of God, she would say, we can reach this world. You know, I happen to believe her. Still believe her because it's God's word. God's got all power. I don't have any ability, but He's got all ability. I'm telling you, mothers, you can infuse faith into your children if you won't be discouraged by looking at yourself, getting introspective, or letting what other people say. You need to realize you are the one that is forming the clay of those children, and that you're going to have the greatest imprint upon them of anyone else. You need to, in the days that you feel the lowest, get a hold of God. Husbands, you need to strengthen them, but we cannot allow discouragement to stop us from the task that we have. And then there was the discouragement that came by creating fear. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, most of the Jews lived away from Jerusalem, they said unto us 10 times from all places, when ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. And the sense, and many of the commentators believe this was not given to help warn them, though it did warn them, this was to create fear. Fear paralyzes. In fact, in Deuteronomy 20, the officers were told that don't bring any man into the army that is fearful. Why? Because it'll cause other people to be fearful. Now, rearing children is scary. But God's not given us a spirit of fear. And let me just end with this. The same way that Nehemiah was able to get the courage to go before the king and potentially lose his life because of his request and the way God told him how to do it, the same God that gave him courage and courage to come into into this kind of situation and stand up against the enemy is the same God who will in prayer do the same thing for you. If you will spend time at the throne of God, you will have boldness. You will have courage. And this is my heart cry. We desperately need moms with courage today. We need husbands, dads with courage, and we just need as God's people to have courage to do what needs to be done. And I'm telling you, the greatest work that can ever be done is within your home. And mothers, it's a sweet day. It's a wonderful thought about motherhood. But you got to be a fighter as you're a builder. I'm not reading the last part because of time, but they had a sword and a trowel. They were ready to fight if they had to. And God has put it within every mother here, that willingness to fight for what's right, right? You need to get it down what is right. But you need to get it deep within your soul. These are your children, God. And I'm going to intercede and I'm going to do what you've told me to do no matter what the world does, no matter what pressure I feel, because I believe that my children have got to turn out for the glory of God. And I will give myself to it. Don't be thrown by the fact that there is a battle. Expect it. And by God's grace, you can always be an overcomer. Let's bow for prayer.